Here we go. It's our 4G Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. LA Live at 5:40 here on 105.3. The Fan. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's edition of The Finest, Chief.
Oh, the NFL screwed up once again. You're not going to put Mahomes in the Pro Bowl. Add the fuel to the fire into the championship eyeballs of the GOAT, Pat Mahomes. Just the chip on the shoulder continues to grow. You just disrespected Pat Mahomes like that, 15-1, and you're not going to put him in the Pro Bowl? Oh, watch out, AFC. They're coming for you once again. This is just going to add insult to injury. They were already going to take it to the Super Bowl, but now they're ready to embarrass you. They want to disrespect you. They want big man TDs. They just, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are about to do that thing again, boys.
Remember last year after they won it, the story came out of when Pat told Brittany, this is when I decided we're going to win the Super Bowl. Boom. I think this is that moment this year.
Yeah, you know,
woken up and said, you know what, honey, I think we're going to do it again. Why not? Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and do this thing. Well, he had told her a while back because they're getting ready to have another baby. And he was like, don't worry. I'm going to make sure we get that first round bye in the postseason because that's about the time of the due date. So they'll be on a bye week and they won't have to worry about playing any games. And he'll be able to be there as a present father for his baby to be born. He put that rest assured early into the season to wifey. And what did he do? He went and got it done. Bad ankle and all. Doesn't matter. Bunch of games in very little days. No problem. We're going to get it done. And then he gets like 26 days of rest between the Christmas Day game and when he's going to have to play again, which is in the postseason when, of course, he's only going to need two wins at home to get to the Super Bowl. Fuel to the fire. No Pro Bowl. Give me a break. This is a shoe-in, ladies and gentlemen. It's just about who's going to be representing that NFC. Mm-hmm. Who do you guys think Pro Football Focus had as the best offensive player in the NFL this year? And do you think it's, I'll tell you this.
Is it a runner?
It's not a runner.
It's Lamar Jackson.
Brock Bowers.
Jordan Mailata.
Oh.
Offensive tackle for the Eagles is Pro Football Focus's highest grade offensive player in the league this year. Congratulations to him. Are you guys buying the reports? Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, McCarthy setting his sights on the Bears job if the Cowboys move on from him.
Sure.
Yes, I
absolutely
would buy
believe that. Yes, absolutely.
I just wonder if they have their sights set on him in any way.
I mean, it'd be hard to miss if he was anywhere in your 180-degree vision. But no, I would not think so. I think you're excited to get, you know, a younger, you know, more innovative offensive mind. Go with your quarterback.
There were four teams to have no Pro Bowlers. Zero Pro Bowlers.
Your Dolphins
for four
was
teams.
One of them.
Dolphins is one.
Your Jets was another one.
Bing.
Your New Orleans Saints was one.
Bing.
Uh-oh.
Can you go four for four?
Tennessee Titans.
Bing. Wow. Brian Broaddus.
You tell me Will Levis didn't make the Pro Bowl.
You know your bad football teams better than anybody,
Come
Broaddus.
On.
That wins you football on, guy of the year.
Worked on a few bad football teams.
Yeah, that's true. Had a helping hand in some bad football teams.
Had some bad football teams.
Okay, we do have some incentives. We mentioned Cooper Rush, but Mike Evans, 5 catches and 85 yards away from $3 million.
Woo, let's go, Mike.
So it's obviously about the 1,000-yard deal, of course, consecutively, but $3 million for 5 catches and 85 yards. $2 million is on the line for Geno Smith. He needs a $1.85 through the air, and he's going to get $2 million direct deposit.
Okay, so being up there in the Northwest, getting a chance to talk to my dad and other Seahawks fans, and then watching 2 Geno Smith games in their entirety, barf.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers do not give you any sort of an accurate representation of how bad he is.
Oh, because you had to watch that Thursday night game versus those Bears, the 6-3 outing of disgust right there.
I mean, but there were other
no, there's been some
in the previous game as well.
Seahawks have been on a downward slide for the last few weeks, and I think he got banged up, and that may be part of it why he looks even worse right now. But yes, that is not a guy that you feel good about, like being the face of your franchise. And you wonder what the Seahawks can try and do here, because I mean, what do you guys expect the Vikings to do?
Yeah, you
with
trade
Sam
for
Darnold?
JJ. I think that they are going to stick with JJ McCarthy in Minnesota.
You're going to let Sam Darnold walk and you just get a comp pick for him next year?
Franchise tag.
Yeah, can you tag him?
You can. Yeah, you can tag him.
I think you tag him.
You tag him? How much is that going to cost?
Doesn't matter. Your quarterback the rookies are cheap.
I mean, if you want to keep him, the contract's going to be 50+.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you don't commit multiple years. You just 1 year, yeah, but you franchise tag him. You move on from there.
Your quarterback's making your rookie quarterback.
We're trying to win the Super Bowl.
That's 1 year salary cap hit of what's the going rate for the franchise quarterback right now? I'd love to see it. It's got to be
38.3 mil, which honestly is not bad.
That can't be right.
That's what the franchise tag value is.
That's smaller than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. Isn't it the average of the top five highest paid dudes? There's no way that's 38 million.
For 2024, it was 38.3 million.
For 2024.
Yeah.
We're now going to 2025.
Wait, you think things are going to go up to $60
million? $45 million?
$45 million for 1 year salary cap? Dude, that's a fat one.
Guy might get you into the NFC championship.
It's the most important position on the field. I mean, I'm spending money
on quarterback. Well, don't tell that to Broadus because the running back is.
I'm just telling you why I gave you a reason what I would do, and you just got surprised that I would franchise tag a quarterback.
That's right.
If you were going to franchise tag him and trade McCarthy, I'm with that. That sounds like a great idea.
Well, if you're going to trade him, go ahead and sign him long-term.
Long-term for Darnold. Yeah.
My whole thing on tagging him is it's just 1 year. You're not on the hook for maybe this was just a flash in the pan. You and Sam Darnold ends up not being any good. But, hey, we saw what we had there. He moves on. Now we are going to JJ.
Well, I mean, you tag him and you get next year to evaluate it. You know, and you could tag him again. You still have leverage for a contract.
I guess
if you're not sold on Darnold, but you can't walk away with Darnold. Like, you're hoping J.J. McCarthy can deliver you a 15-win season.
I don't want to get myself tied into Darnold for a multi-year deal. So if I want to keep both, I'm tagging him. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'll see. If he ends up being good again, then I'm trading J.J. Yeah. And Darnold is my guy.
McCarthy's cheap. Why not? Go for it.
Well, I mean, the longer it goes with McCarthy, the less value that he has. He has, I think, the highest value he's going to have is a complete unknown right now.
Yeah, well, if it's good next year with Darnold and he doesn't play, then the value hasn't changed at all for McCarthy.
No, it does, because that's another year of his rookie contract.
He's still got 3 years of control, right? That's still valuable.
I mean, I think you want to win the Super Bowl next year, so I'm trading McCarthy for a bevy of picks to win around Sam Darnold.
Hell, they got a shot to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
14-win football team.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not moving on from
Darnold.
They got a chance
to be the number one overall
seed. Yeah.
Like, to me, I know we talk about the roster construction. They got a damn good football team now.
Yes.
Right? So,
but imagine how much better it is if you get a 1 and a 3 for McCarthy.
Yeah, that'd be great. But if Darnold ends up sucking, then I just traded my guy who could end up being my heir apparent. Like, I'd rather hold, like, quarterbacks are gold. Give me the quarterbacks. Keep the quarterbacks in my organization. And I'm okay with that.
I wonder if a guy like Kevin O'Connell, though, feels like, dude, I just did it with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You know, I gave Kirk Cousins some of the best years of his life. Imagine what I can do with J.J. McCarthy that I'm molding from the start here. Now, you have the injury question of, like, how is this dude going to come back from what was obviously a pretty serious knee injury? So that's the risk you want to take. But I do wonder if Kevin O'Connell, an offensive mind like that, is like, yeah, I just did it with Sam Darnold for $10 million. Why am I going to pay that same guy $40 million for 1 year when, and, I mean, geez, maybe he could get Kirk Cousins again if you're just looking for a rental super on the cheap. I don't know. I mean, but paying $40 million on the salary cap for 1 year of Sam Darnold seems crazy to me.
Because you've done it with him. You've done it.
You know what you have in Sam. I don't know what I've got in J.J. McCarthy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dak at 60, you know, that's just... That's currently where we are, you know, like is at 53.
And we're not sitting there saying, good job, Cowboys, you did the right thing.
No, we're not.
No,
absolutely not.
And there's a good chance that you pay. I mean, I guess we'll see what this run in the postseason looks like here, which is going to start this week, all the marbles versus the Lions for Sam Darnold, and kind of see if this, because if this goes Sam Darnold sideways on you over the course of these next few weeks, and everybody starts to really understand that it's the defense that is doing a ton of heavy lifting for this team right now.
Well, then you don't sign Sam Darnold.
Right. There you go.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. So are you saying Darnold, you just let him go for nothing, and then maybe I don't have a quarterback at all, or I give him the multi-year deal and I trade J.J.? Because I'd rather, I mean, I don't really, the one-year franchise tag, I don't see what's so crazy about that idea.
For me, it's just, what is that going to do to your roster when you're committing whatever you got a $45 million cap hit on your quarterback right now? What does that do to the rest of the roster? I don't know the status of it, but how many guys is that going to mean that you're going to now sacrifice on the roster just so that Sam Darnold can now continue to be your quarterback? I don't know.
I mean, 4,200 yards.
Isn't that the most important position
that
you guys are telling me?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, wouldn't you rather have a quarterback that you know you feel good about, that I can go out and win 14 games with, and then if he ends up not being good, then I'm not on the hook long term. You leave.
68% completed. I mean, these are just numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no, I get it. He's had a solid year. He totally has. But it's solid when you're paying him $10 million and your roster is able to do a lot of stuff for you. But I don't know.
We're talking about that roster. It's like, oh my God, this roster is so good. They're a quarterback away. We thought they were going to stink. They've done pretty damn well.
No, for sure. But it's because the defense has been so much better than we thought it was going to be.
This might be the line where an additional $40 million better spent. And if you believe that, hey, we can get this done with a $10 million quarterback, I would love it as a GM if my coach was excited about that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, let's freaking do it.
Yeah.
Let's trade McCarthy, get some picks, let Darnold walk for a comp pick, and find the backup.
Yeah. You know?
They're in a great position. I wish we were in this position.
$76 million in cap space.
Yeah, they're pretty sad, I guess.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money to do stuff with.
Yeah. And if you want to commit over half of that to Sam Darnold, then that's totally
fine.
I'd
rather commit half of it to a quarterback that I know I can win with.
Yeah, I guess if you're that confident in Sam Darnold, I do think it's a very interesting conversation for what it is that they're going to have to do. And of course, these next few weeks of Sam Darnold in big time games will probably be the biggest truth serum for it all. How about this as a stat of the day? Ja'Marr Chase has more receiving yards than every Patriots wide receiver combined this season.
Wow.
That is hard to do right there.
That is crazy.
I think they've been thrown to the tight ends quite a bit, but my goodness gracious, that is an offense that desperately needs a number one overall pick, Travis Hunter kind of player. Am I right? All right. How about Anthony Richardson? That dude was talking about having to crawl around the house last week. He couldn't play because his back was so bad. He's to the point where he's on all fours crawling around his house. At what age did you find yourself crawling around your home, Dawson?
46. Mm,
okay.
I believe
Anthony Richardson is like 22 or something like that. That's a bad sign. Mm. That's a very, very bad sign. Okay, here is some sound. We are living in a world now where Bill Belichick is on the gram, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go, Bill.
And this is what you have to do. You got to get with the times. You're going to college. This is it. You got players wanting to slide into your DMs and sell themselves to you to come play for you. Here is Bill Belichick's welcome to the gram. Potentially. We do have Bill Belichick in there somewhere.
Bill, 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 Bill.
No days off, Bill. Day by day.
Willie?
All right, so we'll get to that here in a second. Who was the biggest snub for you guys on the Pro Bowl?
Mahomes.
Without question, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're 15. I mean, it's just disrespectful. And don't give me the stats argument. Game's in the law, hanging in the balance. You don't want anybody else. You'll want Patrick Mahomes, and he's done it. He's done it all year long. I don't care if he stinks for three quarters. The whole team stinks. Mahomes raises up. Chris Jones raises up. They make it happen. I mean, the hate on the Chiefs is just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, Mahomes is the biggest to me. You know, I would give him the MVP just because I know he's the most valuable player in the NFL. No disrespect to anybody that's had a great regular season. This is the guy. If there was a draft, if open free agency applied to every player, Patrick Mahomes would be the only player that teams would consider. So leaving him out of the Pro Bowl is a big mistake. You know, there's a couple of others. You know, this guy Kirby Joseph with the Lions, he looked pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. couple of picks the other day.
Yeah,
Kirby Joseph,
big time snub.
AJ Brown, especially if they're going to let you push the defensive back out of the way as the ball's in the air.
He did that to Bland, didn't he?
Yes. I think that's his best route, actually, is OPI, which they seem to never call anymore. But, yeah, obviously, you know, for me, like, the conversation really starts and ends with Mahomes. And I can't wait to see what he does in these playoffs because I feel like even though they've had a great year, now the deck is even more stacked against them with, you know, what some of these other teams have put together.
You also have Danielle Hunter who was, you know, I mean, one of the best pass rushers in the league this year, not getting in. That's a little bit crazy. And then it was Travis Kelce, though, who led the entire sport in Pro Bowl votes. And you know why?
Mm. Yeah.
The Swifties got a hold of
that.
They're committed, man. Yeah, they are. Shout out to that fan base.
Indeed. Thank you, Chief. In addition to the finest, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we'll have our final discussion of the season with Stephen Jones. He's been joining us every Friday. And, of course, it won't be too long before we hear him again at the, you know, at the Combine and at the Senior Bowl and then the lead up to the draft and everything. He and Jerry will be a continuing presence. But tomorrow at 5, we'll wrap up our season. We'll see what kind of fastballs we can wing at Steve tomorrow at 5 o'clock. In addition to the expressways coming up right around the corner, LA Live with Lucius Alexander coming up at 5:40. And we're back with everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day here in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Yes, sir. It's time to hit the expressway, commercial free to the top. LA Live with Lucius Alexander is coming up in 16 minutes. Okay. Every day at this time, we take a look at everything that's been developing, your biggest local sports stories, breaking national headlines. And the segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. The expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. Are the Cowboys tanking here, guys? Micah Parsons downgraded to limited on the practice report. You had Calvin Watkins with us 2 hours ago there at 3:20, if you want to go back and listen to it. Nice little conversation there about the Cowboys. Says maybe the DeMarcus Lawrence thing was a tank move, pun intended.
He just never could get right.
Yes.
I mean, I asked some people in the organization about that one, and I'm like, you know, I went by, walked by. I remember I was talking to you guys, like he was out there working with Britt, and it got to the point where they couldn't just get him right, and then it came like it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were still playing meaningful or trying to win to be 500.
Mm-hmm.
The foot just never responded good enough for him to go out there and play. That's
you also had the CD Lamb. Would be playing through this shoulder injury, even though the MRIs may be getting a little bit worse. And then if Micah doesn't play here, and if I'm the Cowboys right now, based on what we know about this draft, Brian, if Micah doesn't play, that's our chance of winning just totally out the window. You know, you go from being probably a top 10 defense to one of the worst defenses in the NFL without Micah Parsons in there.
Oh, my gosh, dude. We had some numbers last week on the difference, the on-off splits for this defense mm-hmm. with and without Micah Parsons. Yeah. Without Micah Parsons, you're giving up a success rate that is equal to Josh Allen this year.
Wow.
You're basically turning quarterbacks into an MVP candidate when Micah Parsons is on the field. When he's on the field, the quarterback success rate is equal to that of Daniel Jones.
Wow.
That is the discrepancy between the on-off split. So, like, when you want to give the MVP to Jordan Lewis, I get that, and I'm totally here for it. He's played all the games, and he's been awesome. But the best player, without question, has been Micah Parsons, and there's just no questioning that.
Boy, you know his agent is just wearing that stat out right now.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, I'd be sharing video from that. That's incredible, from Josh Allen to Daniel Jones by taking Micah on and off.
The Cowboys would be like, well, he was on the field against the Eagles, right? Your second and third string quarterbacks tore us up.
Yeah.
So your metrics can shove it.
Well, I mean, this is once again you taking one small example.
Give me all your numbers.
Yeah.
No, but he is. I mean, it's true. Like, their pass rush success rate, we talked about that. I mean, they were the worst in the NFL. With him, they're among one of the best. There's no question who your best defensive player is. It is Micah Parsons.
It's been said for my entire time covering these Cowboys that the Cowboys would never tank. But I would think this is their version of it. It's not a wholesale everybody is out, but you have to recognize, you know, the importance of losing this game and staying in the 7-win club. I mean, you move up to 8, all hell could break loose. You could be picking 17th. Okay, a lot of chatter about playing Trey Lance. I think you take the money out of it and just say it's been a great year for you once again, you know, Cooper Rush. If a team wants to trade for you and pay you, we're up for that. But we want to see the kid, you know, and
I think he's unrestricted. I think Cooper and both he and Trey are both unrestricted.
So
you got Stack under contract right now, as is. So you can trade him. Yeah.
You know, if you've played well enough to go get paid, we've done more than enough. I guess there's a $250,000 relief, but I think it's square at this point. And you know, I don't know, but watching Trey Lance play, I just can't imagine against a team that's motivated, right? Washington is going to be motivated to win this game.
They absolutely are.
Yep. Is Zeke worthy of the Cowboys' Ring of Honor?
No.
I think the Joneses will put him in. Just the,
They might. They might.
They have, if you ever notice in the stadium, they have pre-1989 Ring of Honor dudes on one side and post-1989 Ring of Honor dudes on the other side. So, yeah, we'll see how. If you put Ezekiel Elliott in, you're opening yourself up to Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, a lot of guys that, you know. I don't know.
Dez way better than Zeke, right?
That's what I'm saying. You're opening yourself up. If you put Ezekiel Elliott into this Ring of Honor, you are opening your, like I say, you're opening yourself up to a lot of guys that probably otherwise wouldn't be. I think there's only three non Hall of Famers in the Ring of Honor. Darren Woodson, unfortunately, is one of them. I think Don Meredith and Don Perkins are the other two.
I mean, it should be like a Hall of Fame standard, shouldn't it?
There's a lot of stadiums you go to, and you look at their Ring of Honor, Wall of Honor, whatever you want to call it, and you're like, okay, I remember this guy. I remember this guy. And you're like, that guy wasn't very good. You know, but that some organizations don't have the history. Like the Steelers have a history. You know, there's the Raiders have a history, you know, and you have a history. So you don't have to put the Wall of okay on up there. You know, you can legitimately have a Ring of Honor of quality players.
Leroy Jordan would be the other one.
Is Leroy Jordan the other?
He's not in the Hall of Fame. But he's in the College Hall of Fame, not the NFL Hall of Fame.
So there's four of them then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, even all Cowboys fans that held the line that Zeke was good going into this year have given up on that. But sure. I think you got to go back like 5 years to really see the effective end of his time as a star player. In 2019, 4.5 yards per attempt, 1,357 yards. And what
burning
did he
the
have?
Candle at both ends.
He had 12 touchdowns that year, you know, and 54 catches. That was great. After that, 4.2, 3.8, 3.5, and 3.1. Like, you know, you could talk about what has happened this year, but this has been a long time in the making. And the Cowboys have favored the celebrity over the production on him for way too long.
And yeah, you can't put a guy in the Ring of Honor for four good years. No. I mean, he had 4 years where he was up there amongst the best running backs in football. That 2017 season, he missed those games due to the suspension, or else he's leading the league in rushing again. But 2016 to 2019, he was awesome. After that, there is a massive drop-off. And if we're doing that four good years, you're in the Ring of Honor. My gosh, there's a lot of guys that are going to line up and say, hey, let's do this.
You're opening this thing up is what you're really opening it up for.
I mean, there was like almost 1,200 carries or 1,200 carries in the first 4 years of his career. Maybe that did it. You know, usually it's the bigger run total seasons over like 350 attempts. But if you combine that with how heavily he was used at Ohio State, you combine that with all the catches that he had in his first 4 years. I mean, you add over 150 touches to his totals there with all the grabs that he was making for the first 4 or 5 years of his career. Maybe it just did run down, but it's disappointing to see Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, you know, the number of players that were around that time where they came into the NFL all continuing to be, you know, significant difference-making players as runners, some of even big runners. And, we just had such a small window of time where Zeke was that dominant. You know, even year two, it wasn't that great. Obviously, he had the situation come up with Roger Goodell and all that, and maybe that took something out of it. But, you know, the yards per attempt that year weren't great. And I don't know if there's been enough coverage of how it went so bad for Zeke and where the Cowboys missed in so many ways on him. Okay, Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury said he would like to be a head coach again, but declined to say if that meant this offseason. What do you guys think? Can he do it? Kingsbury coach?
I heard him talk about like what he would do differently and what was eye-opening for him being here with the Commanders now, because you go from Texas Tech, you fail up into Arizona, and you obviously don't know what you don't know, and now he sees the way Dan Quinn handled things with setting a standard, and there's some things that we don't compromise on here. This is going to be the foundation of what it is we're going to do. And he could see firsthand, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. And this is his first chance to really see that. I am having to swing the pendulum back in favor of him because I was totally out on him, even as a play caller coming into Washington. I thought that was a bad hire, but he's completely proven me wrong. So he's shown the willingness and ability to evolve a little bit. And perhaps, you know, on the second go around, like a Brian Flores, let's see if he gets another opportunity, you know, see if he can learn from some of the mistakes that he made in year one, or first tenure as a head coach. And you can see guys improve some things. And I don't know if it could work out for him, but the season that they've put together with this Commanders offense, and nobody was, I mean, Jane Daniels is doing a lot for them, but they're making an average group of offensive linemen look really good. I think that's credit to coaching.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, though, that there's just so much that goes along with being a head coach that as a coordinator or position coach, you could have a total blind spot to. And, you know, the things that you just want to sweep under the rug or let go in the interest of, you know, trying to move along, that the team is craving the accountability and the discipline and the culture that that creates is worth just as much, if not more, than the schemes that you're going to design.
Some guys are just good coordinators, and he might be that, right? I mean,
totally,
like,
yeah.
North Turner was that way?
Yeah, and even this year, the second half of the season, there was the narrative of, oh gosh, the Washington offensive numbers are starting to decline a little bit, and I think Jaden Daniels is just so special that he's able to mask some of that. So Cliff will get an interview with the Bears. He's got a relationship with Caleb Williams. Maybe that would work because of his relationship with Caleb, but otherwise, yeah. No. If I were a team, I would not be looking to hire Cliff right now as a head coach.
Agreed. Ultimately, there's better candidates, you know, out there right now, sure fire, but...
Could he be successful if he gets another shot?
I wouldn't be the team to do it.
No, I wouldn't, but it's possible.
It's still a little early. I'd probably like to see the Commanders offense go 2 years in a row looking legit here. Because you're right, Walchuk, they did run into a little bit of a stalemate there in the middle of the season. They've obviously turned it around, but yeah, how much of that is just Jaden Daniels with his legs and with his arm? I mean, both. The dude's just outstanding across the board. How much is that just the real reason?
And Flores, the DC of the Vikings, that would be, I mean, who's your OC going to be? But, you know, that might be the...
You don't know. He might have somebody on that staff, a young guy that we don't know about that's, you know, that they're grooming for potential down the road type of a guy. Minnesota, it's a good staff. Maybe they good offensive coaches. There might be somebody that's breaking down film in a room that we don't know about that he's all of a sudden every day at practice, he's like, oh, this dude gets it. This guy might be, you know, the next Ben Johnson type of
guy. That would be the huge thing because he could never figure it out with the Dolphins. And obviously the relationship with Tua was rocky, and how would that go with Caleb Williams? You know, the toxic masculinity of Brian Flores mixing with the painted fingernails of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's necessarily going to work, but... Can you get an offensive coordinator who's legit? He hasn't proven that he's been able to do that in Miami.
You know, I was just thinking of like, you know, beyond Chicago and Washington and Minnesota, what's like the best realistic scenario for the Cowboys, you know? And maybe it's finding a Brian Flores with a coach in Minnesota who could come down, you know, as a combination if it's not Ben Johnson.
Man, give me the offensive coach with Bob Saleh as the defensive coordinator potential. That's if Zimmer doesn't want to participate anymore. But I think an offensive coach with Robert Saleh would be ideal. I'll tell you what, I think Matt Eberflus is a close second as a DC.
Another guy, good coordinator.
Yeah.
Didn't work out as head coach, but he's a good D coordinator.
To me, those are the types of guys. I think it's better than, I don't know who Mike Vrabel. Now, Vrabel would be defensive minded, but who's the offensive guy? I think if you get that offensive coach, then you can Robert Saleh could be a really, really, really good defensive coordinator for you. And I think that would help your staff a lot.
Those reports about the Vrabel personality and how like a confrontational he is, I just don't know how that works here. You know?
Yeah. I think it was somewhat of a ridiculous report.
Oh, you're not buying it.
Not to say that it like wasn't true. I'm sure people might, but now it seems like every opening, even in college, Vrabel's the guy. Yeah. Everyone wants Vrabel.
Well, people so
want a program. Flip. They want a program builder.
Most organizations don't mind intimidating head coach.
Yeah,
you know, but I think the Cowboys would. You know, they want somebody that's malleable and flexible and isn't going to be emotionally driven to, you know, get in debates and insist on his way. I mean, that's one of you know, the biggest job requirements is loyalty to what Jerry wants.
About to have
similar
a huge,
to building a
huge measurement here coming up, boys.
White House cabinet. What's that? 20-10?
Yeah, 20-10. Notre Dame went for it on 4th-and-1 at the 50. And I think he's short.
Yeah.
Georgia thinks so, too.
Yeah. I think we're short here.
Maybe we could be in for another exciting finish halfway through the third. Looks like Georgia's going to take over at midfield down 10. Yeah. The Giants are missing Saquon Barkley more than just on the field during this miserable 3-13 season. They're surveying the damage, and Tommy DeVito said it was a big loss, especially losing his leadership, and then Sterling Shepard was another big veteran leader, and that's why they went from being massively disappointing to maybe the worst team in the NFL this year. Mavs are off tonight, host the Cavs tomorrow night at 7:30. What's your concern level on you know, between 1 and 10 here for the injuries, as you know, not too long,
eight,
we're going to be at the midway point of this season. Does this threaten like postseason glory?
It very well could. I'm certainly hopeful that it won't. I'm not hitting the panic button for that yet. But in terms of this stretch, this month of basketball, with the injuries that you're dealing with, PJ Washington now added to the list, and the schedule of really difficult teams, this is gonna be tough sledding for a while. You just hope that Luka comes back, he's good, and then you can just, hey, just get into the postseason, try to avoid the play-in if you can, but just get into the postseason healthy, and you can trust this team to do some serious damage.
That's what it's all about. Just get into the playoffs. Just get in.
I need to know PJ Washington's status with the knee here. A little sprain. Hopefully this is just a couple of days.
Yeah.
If it's a 3 to 4 weeker, you know, I've seen enough over the last week to think the Mavs over a 15-game stretch could easily go 5-10. And find themselves out of the play-in situation. Yeah, yeah. But with 2 months or 6 weeks to go in the regular season, I think there's enough quality here that they could rip off as many successive wins that they would need.
You got plenty of time left.
See, what worries me, and I'll ask you guys this question, is though, if they fall way behind and then now they have to just play their balls off to
get back, run out of gas.
And then they run out of gas trying to get to the fifth seed.
That's a real fear.
Didn't that happen last year?
Well,
they were worn out.
They were... I'm just saying.
Went on a hell of a run for the final 30 games.
They did. And I worry about, this team has got a lot of depth to it.
Yeah.
But if you all of a sudden, you know, these 17 games without Luka, say you lose 14 of them, you know, now you're way below 500.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Now you're having to scramble to try and even get it back to 500 to get even maybe into play-in situation.
You need load management games,
and you don't have them.
I think that's the real storyline here, is that's what this could end up costing you. Yeah. Time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, yo.
Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year.
How did you guys celebrate the New Year's Eve?
I was asleep by 9:30, Lucius.
Oh, wow.
Okay, wow.
I was KO'd. I was just exhausted. Yeah, I was like, I couldn't fight it anymore.
So woke up, it's a whole new year. No countdowns, no nothing.
Just no excitement whatsoever, dude. The blandest New Year celebration of all time for me.
Okay, man, I ain't mad at you, dog. You must have been hella tired. Zach, what'd you do, bro?
I was just at home with the family. And we did. We made it all the way to midnight. We watched the countdown and all that. It was fun. I mean, it was nice. Nothing too crazy. But I guess when you're over 30, it's like, we're not going out to Uptown anymore.
No, we're not doing
the clubbing scene.
We got
the baby at home.
No, that's amateur night.
I do love a good New Year's house party.
Yeah, that's my jam.
I was trying to put something together, but the mother-in-law was sick. So it's like, crap, the kids are, they're going to be party poopers for me, you know.
Baggage. I got you.
Yeah, Lucius, you got me watching CNN. When the
countdown guys,
yeah. Andy Cohen and those guys,
wasn't somebody like tripping balls on that?
They're doing shots.
Oh yeah,
doing shots. They
interviewed somebody on. Who was it?
Yeah, they got a gal. Some gal went on there and went nuts.
Oh yeah, the comedian.
The comedian went nuts.
Oh yes, Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, Whitney Cummings.
That's
but
right.
there was a lot of cocktailing going on CNN. That's kind of a tradition now with Andy Cohen and those guys doing that.
Okay, y'all have some chill New Year's Eve celebrations. Yeah. Dawson, you was chilling, bro?
Yeah, I was asleep. We had to get up.
Chilling in this.
You know what,
good
though?
God, man.
This is kind of romantic. We set alarms for midnight and woke up and kissed once.
And went back to sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I was in my romance bag over
Okay. Yeah. So you guys didn't see any fireworks?
Heard them.
Oh, I heard them.
Yeah. Okay, you heard some fireworks. Yeah, I seen a few fireworks out there, and I'm pretty surprised that they're the actual common man. He's buying some real fireworks.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the ones that go up there and blow up in the sky, bro. Like, just a common man. Not the little pop, 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 pop.
Right.
He's got some real fireworks. And there were signs in Grand Prairie that said, don't pop any fireworks, as I was looking and watching the fireworks pop over my left and on my right.
Don't do it. Watch me. Yeah. Where my parents live, they will pull up on you with the SWAT team if you have any fireworks going on, because it's like in high desert. It's like the entire neighborhood's a tinderbox.
Oh, wow.
But people were booming them. They were like shooting guns of some sort.
Yeah. That's what I was going to get to. There was the fireworks, and it was also, I was up there in Cedar Hill by Joe Poole at my pop's house. And somebody over there by Joe Poole has got some fire, bro. I was outside, you know, just trying to see if I could see anything, hear anything. And somebody got the fa. Yeah. My God, dog.
Yeah. Shooting them off into the air.
Shooting them up there, man. To the point where I was like, well, let me go back inside.
Yeah.
I'm standing in the garage for a while. All right, this is a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night edition of LA Live. We'll get into it right after Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Ladies!
I got it. Do you believe in magic? Do you believe in magic?
All right, stop.
And a young girl's
stop.
Heart,
are you going to continue? Are you going to comply with these tests?
And it's magic. Yes.
Hands out of your pockets, arms down to your side.
Got it. Check. Clear.
Stop talking. Stop spitting. Stop leaning on my car. Stand up. Come over here to this white line.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sir.
All right. Put your left foot on the white line.
Left foot.
Put your right foot.
Put my right foot.
Directly in front of
directly
it.
Directly in front of it.
Stop. Stop. Go back.
Stop. Do the hokey pokey.
I'm sorry. What do you want from me?
I want you to put your left foot on the white line.
Left foot. Right foot.
All right.
Left foot.
Are you done?
All right.
Right foot.
Stop.
Left foot.
Stop.
Right foot. Like, what am I doing wrong?
Get back here.
No. Right.
Stop.
No.
You're under arrest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For what?
Operating vehicle while intoxicated.
I'm not intoxicated.
Come on.
Yeah, left foot, right foot. This is LA Live for Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Yeah, it's a brand new year, people. And it's a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night edition of LA Live. One time for the ladies. It's always for the ladies in my book. And speaking of ladies, I went down a rabbit hole on January 1st. Did y'all know there's like twerking influencers? Like, I knew there was twerking influencers, but I didn't really understand what they're really doing in their life out there.
Like, they're being educational? Like, this is how you do it?
That's the game.
I did not know that was a thing.
Come on. They have created their own community. They have created their own market out there. Shouts out. Chef's kiss, ladies. You're doing it. And they're making their own money. And most of their clientele is not, like, some pervy dudes. It's women's.
Right.
Want to learn.
Right.
Women's that want to learn how to shake that fish basket, bro. They want to learn how to shake that junior bacon cheeseburger. I'm happy. And these women are out here traveling. They have their, like, what is it? They're having twerk workshops.
Okay.
And it's like twerk shops, bro.
So this is a skill that can be developed. This isn't just you get out of the bed in the morning with this and you were blessed with this and it's God-given.
It's just you. Some of them God-given. Some of you got to work on.
All right.
Learn new twerks. Bro, it's amazing. Out here, naked dancing. I mean, not naked dancing, nasty dancing. And selling twerking merch. It's a whole thing out here, bro.
Twerking merch.
I'd like to head by one of those conferences, you know, and get some hands-on
work.
They're
going to look at us like we're crazy. It's full of women in there. They're not going to let us in.
Journalistically, of course, right?
Yeah. I'm here to cover things.
You better have a press pass.
Totally educational.
Press ass.
God. Yeah, man, I've seen that. You can take these, like, they're... I see one girl, she was asking for a vacation, and she's taking plenty of vacations off the people that follow her to watch her twerk.
Yes.
And she's like, I want to go to Italy, and I promise you I will twerk under the Eiffel Tower if y'all pay for my trip. And then she's there.
Man, these dudes got a lot of money. We're no pride.
Not smart.
No pride.
we're not.
These people
are
doing right. See, I did this gym. I DM'd with her a couple times. I think she's coming over.
It's amazing.
She's in Italy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, twerking influencers selling merch. They having workshops.
You got any hoodies?
I'm going to buy one of them.
How long were you in this particular rabbit hole, Lucius?
It didn't take long.
Your wife got home.
Hit a subscribe on a few of them, you know what I'm saying, just so I can keep up for research purposes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Flow. What is it? Flow with D?
Okay.
Flow with AD. ADEE. Flow with ADE. She was the number one. She's the one that got me down the real rabbit hole. Like, wait a minute, this is a business to you right here. She was the number one, bro.
I imagine you could stack
top of the power rankings.
You could get some profits if you had the perfect shorts for twerking.
Huh?
Ladies, you gotta get these shorts, to twerk the good way.
Right. Yeah. They got all types of merch, bro.
Look at how much money they made off yoga pants.
It's amazing. Yeah. They're like teaching each other, like, no, girl, you move it right here. And they like holding it, moving and shaking it. I'm like, what is...
Yeah.
All right, anyway, G, back in the day, we do it every weekday on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You could follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is from Trap House Sports. We play this guy a few times when he does his diss songs against NFL teams. It's usually Cowboys or the 49ers. Y'all some booty cheeks. Bow, 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 bow. Y'all lost to the Chiefs. Bow, bow, bow. Well, this right here, he has some Cowboy game breakdown. Breaking down some film as he's watching Cowboys lose to the Eagles.
Yeah, man, another week of Cowboys football, man. This right here, can't even get my words together, bro. I'm just so flabbergasted. What the hey, bro, what's wrong with Kenny Pickett? He acoustic? What was this?
Acoustic.
What the flying was that? He got thrown by his own ball. Ball through him. I never seen it before. It was the worst thing Kenny Pickett or any NFL player has ever done, ever. Turns right around and start dotting us up, bro. I'm devastated. Can't stand it, bro. Why are we even out there? You just out there bullshit. He ain't out there playing for real. He's just out there getting paid. Ain't nobody really out there playing for real. Not even Cooper Rush. He out there throwing a punch for the other team. Threw up a punt. He threw a straight belt to ass, man. Belt, we was getting whooped. We got a whooping fresh out the shower whooping. We hit our report card from my mama. That's the kind of whooping we got. Talk back to the teacher. That's the kind of whooping we got. Devontae Smith, little ass out there doing his bad. Kenny Pickett got hurt. They put the third string in. Guess what he do? Dots us up. Out there getting laced by the third string guy. We get laced by the
being laced by the third string guy. It's true, though. It just didn't stop.
I like when that mic overmodulates. Yeah. That is hilarious. Broadest and Gavin, y'all was arguing the mic was overmodulating.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I love it. I'm just saying.
Which fight was this?
We were on the Witten. We're at the road.
Not with
we're
you,
on.
It's not. It was
the
Witten fight.
Oh, yeah, Witten fight. Oh, yeah.
AT&T Stadium, you were back here at the command center.
Oh, yeah. That was a good fight.
Yeah. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a ladies' night. There's a Bay Area restaurant being shut down after 9 years in business. This is a family-owned restaurant out here just trying to scratch and survive, feeding the community, having a spot for the community. They got hit with a lawsuit because they have a ladies' night promotion. And somebody said that's discrimination. So they hit him with the lawsuit. Yeah,
what?
Hit him with the lawsuit. Discrimination.
Wow. He's doing too much.
On a technicality, it's like, damn it, you're kind of right. But can we just call it ladies' night? Give everybody the same drink specials?
Yeah, but then it's not ladies' night. You got to hook the ladies up for like a discount price.
Yeah.
Or a discount price on the drinks, the entry, whatever. And it's not really to attract the ladies. I mean, it's for the ladies, but it's really to attract the fellas.
Thank you.
At the end of the day, because we're knowing now, hey, that's where the ladies are going to be.
Yeah, it's for us.
Yeah. I don't want to go to fellas night. Fellas night. That's a sausage party. I don't want to go to a sausage party.
Yeah,
I'm going to miss the ladies night promo at this place, even though I've never been. It's not fair what they're doing out there with this discrimination lawsuit. It gives me incel vibes.
It does.
Gives me incel vibes.
You think you'd get a lot of free drinks if you went to a fellas night?
Me?
Would that
bring the ladies?
Fellas night?
No, it would bring the fellas.
Huh?
Just a different.
A little bit of everything out there, boy. I tell you what, you have to check some Adam's apples.
I'm just trying to think outside of the box this twerking thing and how much money they're making. Like, maybe we would get free drinks if we went to a fellas night. Next thing you know, you're not buying a drink.
Well, you probably would. You're going to get your tush squeezed a few times.
Yeah, that did happen once.
Going to be a lot of assless chaps.
That's true. Yeah. Be a lot of Mike Tysons walking around.
How are you doing? this story right here reminds me of you guys probably remember this. There was a guy that sued Hooters because he wanted to be a waitress.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, it gives me those vibes.
Yes.
It gives me those vibes. What else we got right here?
What do you mean I can't be a waitress at Hooters?
Oh, hobbies. I had this written down. Hobbies. You guys have any hobbies?
Probably not.
That are not sports or broadcasting.
Yeah, I think I'm screwed.
Man, I was thinking about it too. I was like, damn, I need to give me a hobby.
Cooking.
Yes, good one.
Like fishing for you.
Fishing is one. Yeah. Whenever I finally get to it. Yeah. Photography. These are hobbies that like the longer you do them, the better you get at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chess. The longer you play chess,
you get
good at it.
Played cooking. That as a kid. Cooking, yes.
Yeah, like
the barbecue.
Absolutely,
hobbyist. Yeah, I do way too much cryptoing. I coaching soccer, I feel like, is a hobby. For some, it's a profession, but, I do it for the fun of it.
I seen this little video, man on the street. He was talking about one of his hobbies that gets better with time. And I'll be damned if he's not making some sense here.
What's a hobby? The older you get, the more you enjoy.
Strippers, man. You finally got the money. You finally got the money. You got the old man strength. You got the gray beard. Like, you walk in there, you're like, yo, they're like, hey, it's my regular on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Strippers don't hit the same at 21.
Nah, they don't, man. They know you ain't got no money. They're not going to give you the real deal, man. Like you want like the dirty stripper who takes you in the back room, you know, and bam, they open the door. Like, they go past the champagne room. And then there's the Diddy room.
There's the Diddy room? Wow. Apparently, I haven't gone at the right age. Right. Never experienced something like that myself.
Yeah, old hobbies. Tell you what. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Jamie Foxx will press charges against the Jackass stuntman. I gave you the story a long time ago. Jamie Foxx was looking to press charges after he was hit in the face with a glass bottle or a glass cup. It doesn't say, it just says with glass. So I'm just thinking it's the glass you drink out of while dining at Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills.
Oh.
Now, officers are looking to speak with Jasper Dolphin. Somebody's name is Jasper, bro.
Jasper Dolphin?
In 2025. Somebody's name is Jasper. Jasper?
From Laramie, Wyoming.
Jasper? Jasper Dolphin, known as a stuntman for the show Jackass. Mm. Officers have footage of the incident, and they are looking for this man. So, Jasper, run. They're coming for you, son. Run.
I'm going to go a hippie kid, probably. Sounds like somebody you'd meet on the street in Austin.
Jasper.
Yeah. Jasper?
Yeah.
I don't know whose parents is naming some kid Jasper, man. That sets us back. Don't do that.
Jasper.
You need to bear that name, bro.
I'm stunned. We're making these.
Yeah. Still making Jaspers. And they're lifting spirits in Columbus, Ohio. It's kind of a morbid conversation right here. Now, I feel like I've done this for years in parking lots of funerals. Since I've been going to funerals, you know, you take out a little fifth, take a swig, cousins pass around, uncles, whatever. Well, now we have a funeral home in Columbus, Ohio that is down to serve liquor. They have a bar.
Okay.
Yeah. They're putting the fun back in funeral, fellas.
Okay. Putting the fun back. Man, I figured they're charging so much already. They don't need to be getting some bar revenue. They're
doing it. We should have did this a long time ago.
Yeah.
This was a layup right here. Let's go to ABC6 for the report, y'all.
My role in this position is to kind of be a party planner for dead people.
Hunter Triplett, the owner of Evergreen Funeral Cremation and Reception, wants to shed the business's reputation of being dark and morbid by offering manageable prices and the option for mourners to raise a toast to a lost loved one with a bar.
We'll only be offering alcohol when people are on this premises and remain on the premises until the continuation of our services, just for the safety of the people in the community around.
Man, I feel like it was a layup.
Yeah.
I feel like it should have been a rolling bartender that pulls up to most funerals and just pulls up in the parking lot, pops a truck, like, hey, I got y'all, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got y'all. The cups are $6 a piece.
Yep.
Feel ya.
Everybody gets a chance to really pour one out.
It's like an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
With that's booze.
So I wonder if there's one in Texas. If not, come on, we need to get to it.
Yeah.
We need to get to it. What's my man that had the television show? He lives over there by my pops. They have a funeral home. Golden Gate. Yes. Golden Gate. That's for you, bro. Y'all need to put a bar in there, man. Y'all need to put a bar. All right. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That is my time. I will holler.
There he goes. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation with Lucius Alexander. Coming up next, it's Chuck Wagon. Zachary, where are you taking us?
All right, let's recap what's going down in Notre Dame and Georgia right now. Did South Carolina even know who the hell they were playing? And the biggest 13-year-old you've ever heard of. That's next.